my Father's business. And the song says, press on. And I think we should press on about our Father's business. We should be diligent about doing that. And so my preparation was, what is our Father's business? And so I really didn't know. I mean, you think you know until you prepare a sermon. And you think about, what is it? What is it? So I have 2 points today. What is my Father's business? And what's not my Father's business? I'm going to go with what's not my Father's business first, a couple of scriptures and a couple of things, and then we'll move on to the meat of the sermon, which is, what is my Father's business? So in Proverbs 6, verse 19, it says, there's 6 things that God hates. So I'll just turn over there. So I think we should start off with what God doesn't like. In verse 16, we're going to read the 6 things that the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart of deceit and wickedness, feet that are swift in running, and a false witness who speaks lies, one who sows discord among brethren. So people that lead other brethren astray, God hates. In verse 17, he talked about a proud look, and in 18, we read that a false witness that speaks discord among brethren. And in Matthew 6, it reads, verse 1, take heed that you do not, is that Matthew 6, 1? That take heed that you don't do your charitable deeds before men. That you're out there in the open, maybe you're praying, you're doing all these things. Because he said to them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So don't stand out there and tell everybody all the wonderful things or pray out there and open. The different versions, what I printed here is the alms before men. And in Matthew 6, verse 5, just down a couple lines, and when you pray, you shall be not like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. And surely you say to yourself, they have no reward. So really, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to follow these men, the 6 things that God hates, and we don't want to have that proud look, and we don't want to stand out there and show people who we are. But let's be about our Father's business. What does God want? So I'm going to read a series of words through the scriptures that we're going to go through just to get those words to think about. And the first thing we're going to talk about, they come from Luke 2, verse 49. And that's where there's only one place in the Bible that says about my Father's business. And it's in Luke 2, verse 49. We're not going to flip there right away, but we're going to ease into that. So I'm just going to read a bunch of words slowly and just think about it. And these are the first words that Christ is speaking about. Myths of doctors. Okay, this is when he's a young man. Hearing and asking questions. Amazed. Just think of these words. They're just, I must be about my Father's business. That's obviously in Luke 2, verse 49. Increased in wisdom and stature. Fear the Lord. Walk in his ways. So I was trying to define what this all meant. Be about my Father's business. So my approach was to use these words, and then as we go through these scriptures, they'll jump at you. Serve the Lord with all thy heart and thy soul. Keep the commandments. His statutes. So we're still talking about our Father's business. Let his light shine. Let your light shine. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Be perfect. Go teach. Baptize. So we're thinking about our Father's business. Observe. Fervent in spirit. some more things that we know. Hope, patient, prayer, hospitality. I thought that was weird in here to find that word jumping right out at you when we're talking about our Father's business. No evil for evil. Work with your own hands. Walk honestly. Serve Him. Obey. I thought the best scripture I found here, and we'll get to it in a while, is stand in awe of God. Stand in awe. Walk in His ways. We know to love Him, right? Serve thy heart with all of our soul. Keep His commandments. The word I like here is yield myself. Rejoice with trembling. Confess faults. Fervent prayers. Obey the truth. And love the brethren. So let's turn to Luke 2, verse 41. And we'll see where this is obviously, or not obviously to everyone, but this is where Jesus said they were leaving the Feast of Tabernacles and He stayed behind. And so in verse 41, we'll read through, I think, 52. And His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast. And when He saw the 12-year-old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their customs and their feast. And in verse 43, when they had finished the days they had returned, the boy lingered behind. Now, his parents not being aware of this, he just hangs out. Not like most 12-year-old boys, but obviously a 12-year-old boy lingering. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went days' journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintance. So they didn't find him. In verse 45, and when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem to seek him. Mom and dad, probably mom, pretty furious by now, went back to hunt him down. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. All of the people that are doctors of the law, doctors of the covenant, doctors of the way we live. He's sitting there with them, both hearing them. He's hearing what they have to say, and he's asking them questions. So he doesn't go in there like he's the Son of God knowing everything. He's asking. He's listening. He's learning. And all that had heard with him was astonished at his understanding and in his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. You would have to think about that a 12-year-old boy could stand there with scholars. I don't know if you guys have ever been around scholars. I'm sure you have. The things that are interesting and way out, that is kind of amazing what's kind of in some people's heads. But here he is with the scholars of the time. They're amazed. That's dealt with us. Behold thy father, and I sought thee sorrow. And in 49 he said unto them, how is that you sought me? Wish you know that I am about my Father's business. So from a young age, Jesus, our elder brother, is seeking God. He's about God's business. He's about the Father's business. So that's why we start where we're at. We start right there about the business of God. And they understood not saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And in verse 52, and Jesus increased, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with man. So as he grew, his disciples, not the disciples, but his parents, people around him, and his God see in that growth. So as a young man at 12, the growth is coming. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy verse 10, chapter 10, verse 23. And now Israel went both, 10, 12, 10. And now Israel went, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, that's 10, 12 to 13, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So we're to fear God, walk in his ways, we're to love him, serve the Lord with our heart and our soul. And in verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes which I have commanded you this day. So as we're building this picture of the things that we're supposed to be about our Father's business, just some simple words that I read in the beginning, but as you read through the scriptures, they're placed in a lot of different spots. Father is in there over 1,500 times, and you think about, okay, you try to look up a variety of things, and you can get kind of caught up in trying to figure that all out. So in Matthew 5, verse 6, 5 or 16, we're just going to bounce across. I'm sorry, there's so many scriptures here. But I think it really lets the point that we're trying to get to come. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's not about our good works for us. It's our good works for God. When people see the good, wonderful things that each of you do every single day, not that everything we do is good in every day, but every one of us in this room has done some good things. And it makes, it just inspires other people to think about, wow, that is a wonderful thing that this person, or they've helped, or they've done, or they've, what they do. It's about God. And the sooner we figure out it's really about God and not us, the better off we really are. All these things are about God. About our Father's business is really about God. Matthew verse 5 chapter 5 at verse 48, just over on the other page. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we're to strive to be perfect. Obviously, none of us are going to get there, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're not with our elder brother, but strive to be perfect. Really work on that perfection of the little things. It's not, can we make 100% difference or change in life? No. But we know through time management, other programs that we all have been to college or we've taken some classes on a variety of things, goal setting, everything. But if you make 1 or 2% difference in a lot of areas, it makes a huge difference. So over time, we can really change our lives. Let's go to the next scripture, which is Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them into the Father's name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And in verse 20, teach them to observe all the things. So teach other people to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So when we read those words in the beginning, I just wanted everybody to get an idea of where we're just headed. There's some simple words that we can think about in our journey with God and in church, in our growth. There's about, I didn't count them, there's probably 50 words, I guess, but there's a variety of words that if you just think about when you're driving, when you're thinking about when you're at a stop sign or whatever, it just, there's some simple words that can really bring some meaning to us. Let's start over for Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Number 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and giving to hospitality. So you're being helpful, you're being hospitable. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. I'm not sure how we can do that or how I could do that, but I would like to work on that. You think about that. and curse not. In verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So when something really good happens, I mean, be joyful for that person. And when something's sad, especially with the brethren, I mean, weep with them. Just really have that concern for each person. Not necessarily even in the church, but people that you're around, your neighbors, people that we work with. There's good things that happen and there's bad things that happen. Recompense, verse 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condensed to men of lowest esteem. Be not wise in your own concepts. So don't think you're really smarter than we really are. I mean, sometimes we think we're somebody and we're really not, I guess. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Just be a straight up person. Verse 18, if it be possible as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Try to just be a good neighbor and live a nice life. Be that person that everybody wants to be around. Be that peacemaker wherever you're at. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Really to work and do the things that you're supposed to do. That verse 12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may lack nothing. That when you're out there, you're doing your stuff and you lack really nothing in life. Colossians 3, verse 25. I guess Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord, that you shall receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And we'll slip back over to the Old Testament again. So in Psalms 100 verse 2, I'll just read a couple of these out loud. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. So here, you guys all sing and have a good time. It always appears like you guys are having a better time at church than most people have in real life. So it's always fun to come over here. I want to go to, as you remember in Exodus, where the Israelites are trying to leave. And so we're going to turn over there and read part of this story because it's a little interesting. And you think about how this all went. And obviously the plagues came and the plagues went. And in verse 10, chapter 10 and verse 24, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. So Moses has been coming to him and they want to leave and serve the Lord. They want to go out in the wilderness with their families and their kids and their flocks. But so he says, go serve the Lord. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. He wants them to stay. Let your little ones go with you. So you can take everything but your food. You can't take the flocks. And if you move down to chapter 12, verse 30. So, and Pharaoh rose up in the night. So he's been doing this all along. He rose up in the middle of the night. And all his servants and all the Egyptians, there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. So every house, there was a dead person. And they all rose up. And in verse 31, and he called for Moses. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people. Get out. He's had enough. The people have had enough. Both you, your children of Israel, and you go forth. You shall also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. He wants them out of there, and he wants them out of there now, in verse 32. And in verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent. They wanted them out. They're urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we will all be dead. They thought they were all going to die. They lost their firstborn, but they thought the rest of them were going to die. In Exodus, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and you shall bless the bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. It's kind of a nice scripture to think about where we're at. In Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it seems evil unto you, serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose this way, you will serve. Whatever the gods, whichever the fathers served, that you are on the other side of the flood. So the people that didn't follow God's way were on the other side of the flood. They're on the outside of the boat, right? Of the gods of Amorite, in whose land we dwelt. But as for me, this is Joshua talking, but as for me, he's telling everybody, hey, let's serve God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Very clear. And in verse 18, and the Lord drove out from before all us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And in verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an unholy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. And he's telling them, you gotta do what's right. You gotta stand up here. If we slide down to chapter 24, verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods. Put that stuff out of your life, which are among you, and incline your hearts unto God, the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve. So they're telling Joshua, okay, we're going to serve God. The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shem. So that day, they had a covenant and a statute in Shem, an ordinance. So if we go down to 1 Samuel 12, 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and you will obey his voice, and not rebel against him, the commandments of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigns over you, continually following the Lord your God, reigneth over you, continue following the Lord. But if you will not obey his voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. So just follow the stuff. Do what he tells us to do. In Psalms 33:8 is really one of the best scriptures that probably isn't all of, there's a lot, I guess, but let all the earth fear the Lord. Psalms 33:8. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Someday that scripture is gonna really reign. Someday that will be highlighted in our brains. The day that when we stand before our God in awe of him, someday. We don't know when, obviously, but someday that day will come. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach us, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. And verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord their God, thy God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, that thou and the son and thy son's sons and all the days of their life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So as we follow God's commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, maybe our days will be prolonged, if you think about these scriptures. And in chapter 6, verse 13, thou shalt fear thy Lord, thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. There's just a lot of little scriptures here. We'll just kind of slide down through these. And in chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Just follow the stuff. God's laid this out. These are some pretty easy scriptures to think about. The words are definitely easy for each one of us in this room to understand. All of the words that we've read so far, the key words are things that we can understand. In chapter 10, verse 12 through 13, and now the Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. So God requires us to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. And some of these scriptures are redundant, but it's throughout the whole Bible. We've been all the way through and back. To walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Just to think about where we're at. Our Father's business. Our Father's business is our lives, to fear and obey God. It's ours. It's something to think about. It's about us. These things are for us. To keep his commandments, in verse 13 of the Lord, and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day for thy good. So it's for our good. All of the laws, I mean, honestly, if I walk outside and I get on top of this building, and I jump off, and I really don't believe in the law of gravity, which is God's law, I'll be just as dead whether I believed in it or didn't believe in it. Everything being equal, right? So it's for our good. So follow the rules. Follow the law the best we can. And each day, we do better. Each day, we do better. In Psalms 115, verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Now be not a stiff-necked. Be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield. You must yield. It's pretty hard to yield. I mean, just driving is hard to yield, right? Yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into a sanctuary which he hath sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may not turn away from you. In Psalms 2, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Those are three words that seem kind of weird in that. Serve the Lord with fear. We don't want to disappoint God. With rejoicing that we have this opportunity with God. And trembling that we might not be as good as we want to be. Fear, rejoicing, and trembling. Colossians verse 3, chapter 3 and 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of his inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So pray for one another that you may be healed. Effectual, I'm sorry. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth. So we've obeyed the truth, we're purifying our soul. The truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm forgetting love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for the charity shall overcome the multitudes of sin. Which seems kind of cool, right? You really have a nice heart. You're really out there. Some of the things that we do, you know, it really can help us with God. So in the beginning, we started with the six things that God really hates, right? Which is the six things: the proud look, the lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart of deceitful and wickedness, someone that's running towards mischief and lies and sows discord among brethren. It's really about our Father's business. We talked about a variety of words: hearing, asking, amazed, walking, love, serve the Lord, His statutes, be perfect, teaching, baptizing, observing, prayer, patience, hospitality. So as you think, as you go through those verses and you think about those words, how each of those words means something different to each of us. That word, every word that we've read, obey, means something different to me than it would to each of you. But as that word means something, or all of these words mean something to you, then that's what this is all about, is making meaning out of the words in this Bible. Making this Bible and these words and these scriptures real to us, somehow equating the reality of our lives living here in the 21st century, here in Albuquerque in 2016, a reality. So as we wind down, I got a few little scriptures here. In Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye be blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you actually visited me. And I was prison, and you came unto me. You took the time and effort to do these things. It's sometimes our time is our most valuable commodity, right? We don't want to give it up. But all these things, someone took their time and effort to do something for someone else. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw the hungry, and when did we feed you or thirst you or gave you drink? When saw we the a stranger and took them in, or naked and clothed them? Or when you were sick or in prison and came to thee? And in verse 40, which is really the crux of all this, everyone, is, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it for the least of my brethren, you have done it to me. So really, we're really about our Father's business.